Praise the Lord. What a great weekend. We had a wonderful time on Friday night with the fun food fellowship on Friday, and that was great. And I had an auction. All kinds of calories were auctioned off. What a blessing. I'll tell you what, we should have gained in something, and that would be in weight. Praise the Lord. It was wonderful. Really good. Well, we are in Revelation chapter 20. We're on lesson number 36, the authority of the Lord. Lesson 36. If you need that, raise your hand. Lesson number 36. We are winding down to the end of Revelation. And it is exciting. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 is our memory verse. And so go ahead and find that, or just look off of your lesson. Again, lesson 36. And let's go ahead and say our memory verse. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference again. And begin. Revelation 20:11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Revelation 20:11, and again, Revelation 20:11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Revelation 20:11. Father, we thank you for the sun shining today. We thank you that it's warming up, and I just thank you for all the folks that remembered this morning to set their clocks ahead, and they're here, and I just pray you wake folks up to come to church later on, and I ask that, God, you'll give us a great, great day, and help us now during this class to be attentive to thy word and to your Holy Spirit. Just make us different because of this time, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've been talking about, of course, Revelation 20, the Battle of Armageddon is over, and we looked at Roman numeral 1, the restraint, talking about that big chain that the devil gets to wear. Then number 2, Roman numeral 2, we talked about the resurrection, two resurrections, resurrection of life and then a resurrection of death. And then last week, we finished this off talking about the reign, R-E-I-G-N, the reign. And really kind of keyed on how we will be reigning with the Lord. He's the king, of course, during the millennium, that 1,000-year period, and we will be reigning with him. We'll have authority. We'll have different positions all across the world, and that's obviously an exciting thought. Don't understand how that all works, but we can only wonder about it. I always kid about that and talk about being the mayor of Maui, but who knows what? Maybe we'll have a perfect climate during the millennium. We know that everything's going to be perfect as far as the atmosphere and everything. The lion lays down with the lamb and everything. So, anyway, I'm kind of asking for 75 degrees all the way through. But anyway, we'll see. And actually, Hawaii, it's hotter than that. So I'm not going to complain. We won't complain. Amen. So, Roman number 4, we're looking at the rebellion. There is this final rebellion, and I think it's very interesting. I've actually, you say, boy, that's a long section there. You got a lot of space. Well, I've actually kind of filled it up, but I do write pretty big. But the rebellion, Revelation 20, verses 7 to 10, and it says, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever." And I'll just add an amen to that. But we call this the rebellion. And verse 7, again, it says, "When the 1,000 years are expired." So we have 1,000 years. Now, 1,000 years to us seems like an awful long time, but I do want to remind you that in 2 Peter 3 and verse 8, it says that it's like a day with the Lord. So these 1,000-year periods, and again, we definitely would argue with the evolutionists as to how long the earth has been here, how old it is. We would say a little over 6,000 years. They would say billions and billions of years. But to the Lord, again, it's just not a long, long time, 1,000 years. And so we would say, wow, a lot could happen in 1,000 years. Well, a lot does happen. And the question is, really would be, it would have to be asked, we would all have to kind of wonder, why let the devil go? You know, just keep him chained up. And well, you know, again, God has a perfect will. I did take a little side note here and wanted to show you Satan's locations in the Bible. The Bible does locate him. We can do a GPS tracker on Satan's locations and know where he has been and where he's going to be. And so the first location we have is, of course, in heaven. And turn to Ezekiel 28, verse 14. Ezekiel 28 and verse 14. And there are other scripture. Isaiah talks about it as well. But Ezekiel 28 and verse 14, we have kind of gone to this passage a couple times. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so, so wast thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. And so we see Satan, first place, first location, he was in heaven. He was actually in heaven. He was created as the anointed cherub, the Bible says, and we have understanding he was over music, which is why he knows how to use music to corrupt us too. And that's been a corrupter for years and years and years. But he was in heaven. That was his first location. Then, second location is not only heaven, but heaven and earth. Okay, Job 1 and verse 7. Job chapter 1 and verse 7. We know the story about Job. It says in verse 7, the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Well, obviously he's there in heaven. And then he talks about how he came from the earth. So we see him going back and forth between heaven and earth. And so, of course, he was a big part in the situation with Job and all that took place there as he appeared before God. Again, I want to remind you, I grew up as a new Christian. I remember thinking, that Satan just put an attack on Job. But in reality, the truth is, God said, consider my servant, Job. It was not the devil's idea initially. It was God's idea to let Job have an opportunity to bring glory to God. Are you all listening? I know we don't like that. And we would love to, oh, that wicked, mean old devil. Well, truth of the matter is, you know, I'm created to bring glory to God. I was created to glorify God. What's our song we sing? I was made to praise the Lord, and I will praise Him. And we have an opportunity sometimes, and I cannot, you know, think that God in His mind isn't saying, okay, consider my servant and put your name there. And because He wants to see if you'll praise Him. And I know everyone, we all face things that cause us to get grouchy and grumpy. I don't like this and I don't like, well, but you know what? It's an opportunity to praise God. It's an opportunity to stand. And certainly Job did and praise Him. So anyway, the devil's going back and forth. And then, of course, Revelation, look at Ephesians 2 also, because that's important in this point. Ephesians 2 and verse 2, it says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So the devil not only is in heaven accusing Job, but he also, as he goes back and forth, he also is stirring things up with people here on this earth. He's the prince of the power of the air. And, you know, we do recognize that when radio came out, wow, what a great opportunity for the Lord. Well, that's true. And who got a hold of it and uses it so much for the devil, really more than it's being used for the Lord. Television, same thing. What a great opportunity for the Lord. Well, but the devil got it. You know, he's the prince of the power of the air. The internet could be a great tool, couldn't it? And it is in some ways. We can use it for the Lord. But it surely has become also a tool for the devil. And so he's the prince of the power of the air, again, as pertains to the earth. And I do want to remind you that the devil will, he's very, very quick to tempt you to sin, and when you do sin, to accuse you. He's very, very quick. That's not a friend, by the way. I just thought I'd point that out to you. Now, he's in heaven, number one. Then he's in heaven and earth, but remember Revelation 12. Back to Revelation 12 and verse 9. Oh, probably a year and a half ago, we were in Revelation 12, it seems like. Revelation 12, 9, and the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This is during the tribulation, remember. And so there will be a time during the tribulation he is cast out of heaven. Notice what it says in verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens. Why? It doesn't stink as bad as it did. Amen. He's gone, you know. Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Understand, the devil probably reads the Bible more than you. Sad, isn't it? He knows the Bible. And he knows, here, the Bible's clear, he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Again, this is during the tribulation. So there will be a point where he is cast out of heaven and he is on the earth. And woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Then Revelation 20 and verse 1, we just talked about the chain. It says, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And so there he is in the bottomless pit, chained up, cast into a bottomless pit. Not a pleasant experience. Amen. Amen. So that'll be 1,000 years. Again, this is future. And then the Bible says he will be let go to come back to the earth again. And that is our context of Revelation 20 and verse 7. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. And so again, the four quarters of the earth, that's all of the earth, he will be able to do his thing again all over the earth. It is interesting that it says, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. And the most startling thing to me, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. In 1,000 years, that many people are going to go against God, with Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. It all is significant. It is all something to think about. And I will help you think about that in a minute. So he's on the earth again, deceiving man, a group of people whose number is as the sand of the sea. It's amazing. And then his last place, verse 10. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. So that's his whole story right there. That's it. There is no more to his story. He was created and he was in heaven. Iniquity was found and he was in heaven and earth. And he was causing trouble in both places, obviously. Then he was cast out of heaven. You know, the devil's strong. He's called the strong man in the Gospels, but he's not that strong because he's cast out of heaven. And then he's chained and put into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then when the 1,000 years up, when God says, okay, let him go, he's let go. He's on the earth again, deceiving. But then he's cast in the lake of fire. And that is all there is to the devil. Isn't it amazing when you think about all the people that want to worship the devil? You know, he's a loser. Read his story. I mean, that's it. He's been a loser from day one. You know what? Every time, Wednesday night, a fella was here in church, sitting in church, and after the service said, Pastor, I'd like to talk to you, went down to my office, and he trusted Christ as his Savior, and the devil lost. Amen. Amen. The week before that, a young lady was sitting here on a Wednesday night. All these little kids in here, and people say, yeah, the message is only for little kids. Well, I don't know. You know, and the Wednesday before, a lady was in here, said, Pastor, could I see you? After this, came down to my office, and in tears, trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, and the devil lost. Are you listening? He loses. Every time somebody gets saved, the devil loses. And he is the loser. And all we have to do is just somebody says, well, you know, the occult has a lot to offer. Really? I like to win. I don't like to lose. And if the occult, all it has to offer is a lake of fire, I'm not interested. Not interested at all. Anyway, just thought we'd get excited about that for a minute. Two things are revealed with this, I think. Two things with, as you think of the millennium. Again, there's no way in the world we could figure out what the 1,000 years is going to be like. You know, we have a lion and a lamb being able to, you know, be friends. What will the lions eat? I don't know, and I'm not talking about the Detroit Lions. They will continue to lose, I guess. But I'm just, what will they eat? You know, what the snake, the child can play with a snake. You know, it's not going to be a big deal. I don't understand all that. I just know that's what the Bible says. And you know, will we have big buildings and, you know, all those kind of things? Well, I would assume that we will. I don't think we'll go back to being cavemen or anything like that. So there will be technology. There will be all those things. The big difference, Jesus will be on the throne of the world. He will reign as king of the world. And we will be under him. We talked about that last week. We will be priests, we will be leaders, we'll be authorities, we'll be judges, we'll be rulers, we'll do all those things. And the people that come out of the tribulation, little children and teenagers perhaps, they come out of the tribulation, they will have families, they'll grow up, and then they'll, you know, some have said, well, you know, everybody will live to be 1,000 years old. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that. Don't know what will take place that way. But we just know there will be people, and those same people will have a choice to make, or they will have to, obviously, they will have to trust Christ as their Savior, just as we do. There's no salvation any other way. Some people say, well, you know, people get saved by works during that time. You never can get saved by works. Man has, and if it is by works, then nobody's saved. All right, so we understand that. Good. So two things. I think the millennium do reveal to us. Number one, and to me it's so obvious, the most obvious thing about the millennium is Satan won't change. He's not going to change. He will not change. All right, all this time, it is true. He has won some battles. We know that. We know there are many people that have gone against God, and Satan, I think, loves it, you know? But But he's been defeated so many times. So many times. I can hear him chuckling with the demons and mocking and laughing as Jesus hangs on the cross, only to realize Jesus had to die on the cross. And the greatest victory that looks like a defeat is the greatest victory is Jesus dying on the cross, and Satan couldn't hold him with death because he rose again. But he's not going to change. No matter who gets saved, no matter how many lives get changed, no matter how defeated, no matter even in the tribulation when he is cast out of heaven by an angel, not even when he's chained up and cast into a bottomless pit and for 1,000 years, instead of falling down and weeping and again, angels can't be saved that we know of. We don't see that. But just changing. Just saying, you know what, God, you're right. He doesn't change. After 1,000 years, he's not going to change. Because as soon as he's loosed, you'd think he'd recognize who loosed him. You would think he would recognize that, hey, you know what, I am not so powerful. But his pride, soon as he's loosed, he goes out to deceive men again. That's just, he's not going to change. So we have to understand that. The devil is always going to be the devil. He's not going to change. But I want you to get this too, because this, to me, this is a parallel that we're going to see through the millennium. And that is this: man can't change on his own. It's not going to happen. It ought to amaze all of us. We think of the millennium, and I'm excited about it. You know, I think it's going to be a wonderful thing. And yet, we're ruling and reigning and judges and priests, and Jesus is king of the world, and all that is taking place, but man is still man. You say, how can we do right? Well, because we're new. We have a new body. We don't have the old flesh anymore. We're gonna be doing right. Amen. You're not going to think bad thoughts. You're not going to be jealous. You're not going to be envious. We're not going to look at somebody who has this country and say, why don't I have that country? Why didn't I get that city? There won't be any of that kind of stuff. We're going to be doing right. Isn't that good? Hey, you know, when the heathen or they've got wicked shows on TV, we're going to avoid all that. We're going to say, no way, you know, get rid of that stuff. You say, you think there will be sin? I know there will be sin. There will be sin. There will be sinful people. That's why. That's why there's no perfect church, because it has people in it. That's why there's no perfect pastor, because he's a people. That's why, you know, as hard as we try to get perfect deacons. They're people. Amen. You know, people say, Pastor, what's the most frustrating thing about pastoring? People. And I'm top of the list. I get very frustrated with me. You say, well, me too, buddy. And I got new money. But man can't change on his own. That is... And I don't know that I've ever really thought about it as much as I've been studying Revelation here and come to this 1,000 years, because I'm like you. I think, God, keep the devil there. You know, keep him in that chained up and keep him out of there. But you know, ever since the creation of man, we see it with the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, and here comes the devil. You know, ever since creation, man has been tempted by Satan. He's been provoked by Satan ever since the beginning of man, the creation of man. And I'm talking about every kind of situation, perfect environment. Oh, you know, if everything were just perfect around us, we would do right. Wrong. Garden of Eden, it was perfect. They had everything they ever could need. And by the way, the law of the Lord is perfect. And so the law of the Lord, there was one tree they could not eat the fruit off of. That was all. And they just couldn't take it. But who was right there? Satan, tempting them. Eve, look at that fruit. Now, you have to believe that Eve had looked at that fruit before, and the thought had come to her mind that, you know, I wonder why we can't eat that, because aren't we like that? Yeah, we're all like that. I wonder why we can't. Well, here's a banana over here, an orange over here, and, you know, and anything you want, and I have to wonder if there might have been a T-bone bush or something, you know? I don't know. But I'm just saying they had everything they could possibly need, and they're having a wonderful time, and yet it just kept bugging them about that one tree. And so eventually Eve ate, and Adam didn't argue a whole lot. Amen. You know, a lot of men, well, it's a woman's fault. Yeah, that's what Adam said too. God didn't agree with that though. By the way, ultimately, who did they try to blame? Well, Adam tried to blame God. The woman now gave us me. You know, Adam, you thought she was pretty good the first time you saw her. You said, woohoo, you know, right? Yeah, the woman that, anyway, well, here's the thing, perfect environment, the Garden of Eden, Satan was there to tempt. So all through time, you have to understand, man has failed. All through time, no matter what the circumstances, man has failed. And even in the 70s, we came up with the idea that, well, the devil made me do it. Right? Uh-huh. And so that's always going to be, that's in the back of the minds of man who has failed all these times. That, well, wait a minute now. We haven't stood a chance. Man has not stood a chance. The devil, he makes me do all these things. And so I've analyzed, and again, I can't prove this biblically that this is why, but it is in my mind that there is a time, there is going to be a 1,000-year period where there is no devil. There will be no devil. How do you suppose man's going to do? You say, well, the devil comes back, and well, yeah, but he has the number is as the sands of the sea. What's that mean? That means that those people have not chosen God for 1,000 years. There are hundreds, thousands, millions of people who during the 1,000 years, wait a minute. God said to Israel, I want to be your king. Let me be, I am your king. They said, we don't want you as our king. We need a man to be our king. Someone that the other countries will talk about. Someone great. During the 1,000-year millennial time, people may have to obey, but their hearts will not be with the Lord. Well, some will, I'm sure. But again, understand, man will fail again. Because we have an army as the sand of the sea, that all through whatever period of time, again, I don't know how long people will live during that time and that, but they've gone to church. King Jesus is reigning in Jerusalem. And they said, well, I'll obey this law, but I sure don't like it. And the devil will raise his army, I think, very quickly. Yeah, wow. People growing up in a righteous world who are unrighteous, because they're still people. And our hearts, the Bible says, are desperately wicked. And they need to be saved so they get a new heart. They will need to be saved. They'll hear it. There will be preaching. I believe that. They'll need to get saved. And though they have the perfect, again, a perfect, and now, even more so than the Garden of Eden, there won't be any devil. No excuse. And man, again, will fail. They will conform to righteousness, but in their heart. Look at Romans 8, verse 7. Ushers, I need you to come, if you would. And we'll go ahead and collect the offering. Just go ahead and start if you would. That's fine. I'm going to keep going. Romans 8 and verse 7, because the carnal mind, get this, write this verse down. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And so all those people that are born during the millennium and all those people that grow up out of the tribulation, they still have a carnal mind until they get saved. And the Bible says the carnal mind is the enemy. It is at enmity, which means it is the enemy of God. It will be very simple for the devil to get his army together. Very, very simple. And his deception, I believe, is simply he will convince them that they can overpower God. Yeah, it is amazing. Look at Romans 3, verse 9. Again, this is us. This is us. Romans 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. There, right there, you cannot work your way to heaven. It is impossible. Possible. That's the deeds of the law. Well, I kept the law. I kept the Ten Commandments. I kept this commandment. I did this. I didn't do that. I mean, I kept the law. The truth is, though, you didn't keep the law because you failed. Yeah, but it was just a little thing. But if you fail in one point, the Bible says you're guilty of all. That's why by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Cannot happen. And it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is our testimony. And over the years, that has been proven time and time again. It started in the Garden of Eden, the perfect environment, and they had Adam and Eve had everything. You say, well, they really blew it, and if it had been you or me, we'd have blown it too. And they did blow it, and we blow it. Don't blame Adam and Eve for your own sin. You know? And all this time, throughout all these years, man continues to blow it. Man will continue to blow it all the way to a final battle when Satan is loosed after 1,000 years. Is he sorry? Does he feel bad? Does he fall on his knees and say, I lose, I give up, I surrender? What's he do? He goes out and he stirs up all these that have already been stirred up for the last 1,000 years and convinces them somehow that they can defeat God. His deception is always, he's the father of lies. So he knows what he's doing. We're going to stop there. And we will move on next week. But something to think about. 1,000 years and the thing that stands out. Satan's not going to change, and man isn't going to change.